Ever get sucked into those conversations? You know, the ones you weren't meant to hear, but they just sort of like lodge themselves in your brain.
Oh, absolutely. Like you're trying to mind your own business, but suddenly you're captivated by the drama unfolding at the next table.
Exactly. So the other day, I'm at this cafe totally engrossed in a podcast, go figure, right? And this couple next to me is agonizing over finding assisted living for their parents, the costs, a wait list, the whole nine yards. And it just hit me. This anxiety about affording care later in life, it's something we all grapple with, right? Not just for ourselves, but for our loved ones too.
Universal.
Yeah.
And with good reason. Which is why we're diving deep today into the financial realities of aging in America.
Right. And we're not just talking about your personal retirement fund here, but the larger trends impacting everyone. We've got two really eye-opening articles to unpack, one by Charles Hugh Smith, ominously titled The Impossible Dream,
Oh, yeah, I saw that one.
and another from the Wall Street Journal that dives into the very real costs families are facing right now.
Let's start with that impossible dream. When Smith throws out this statistic that's downright staggering. Over 70 million baby boomers are heading into retirement. That's more than double the size of the generation before them.
70 million. It's like a demographic tsunami about to hit.
Exactly. And Smith's point is a lot of boomers, and by extension, their families, are entering this phase with some pretty unrealistic expectations about covering rising care costs,
Yeah.
especially given the sheer size of their generation.
So it's not just an individual problem, it's a societal one too. Which brings us to that Wall Street Journal article. They paint a really stark picture of what these costs look like for families right now.
Christine's story, for example, is a huge wake-up call. She's currently shelling out around $240,000 each year for 24/7 in-home care for her husband who has Alzheimer's. Think about that. That's more than many people even earn in a year.
It's a jaw-dropping figure. And the article highlights how these costs can quickly become completely unsustainable for most families. Remember Tracy, she had to shut down her entire business to care for her mom.
And it's not just the financial burden, but the emotional one too, Christine mentions. I never feel truly free. That really struck me. Even if you can afford the costs, caregiving takes a huge toll. There's this constant weight of worry and responsibility.
It's a powerful reminder that there's a very human cost to all of this, too. And, you know, a lot of people assume inheritances will cushion the blow, but
Ah, yes, the inheritance safety net. Unfortunately, Smith doesn't offer much comfort there. He breaks it down in a way that's pretty hard to ignore.
Yeah, he throws out some sobering math. He says 24/7 in-home dementia care can cost around $250,000 a year, meaning even $1 million inheritance, which, let's be honest, most people don't inherit, would be gone in just a few years.
And that's assuming there's even an inheritance to be had. People are living longer, meaning those funds are stretched even thinner.
So we're looking at this perfect storm. People are living longer, care costs are skyrocketing, and inheritances aren't the safety net we thought they were. It feels a little bleak. But didn't Smith offer some potential solutions?
He did. Though it's worth noting, he urges a critical lens when considering them. One thing he really emphasizes is the importance of prevention. He argues that investing in your health now, eating well, exercising, managing stress, could be the highest return investment you make to potentially reduce your future care needs.
It's like that old adage, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Makes sense, right? Take care of yourself now to potentially avoid bigger problems down the road.
But isn't there a danger in putting too much emphasis on individual responsibility? What about those systemic issues like exorbitant healthcare costs or the lack of affordable care options? You're absolutely right to point that out. It's a classic case of individual responsibility versus societal support.
Yes.
Yes, our individual choices matter, but we also need larger systemic changes to make care more affordable and accessible for everyone. But we'll delve deeper into that after a quick break. And as we dig into those systemic issues, it's important to remember this isn't just a financial crisis, it's a caregiving crisis too.
Right, we touched on that earlier with the Wall Street Journal article with Christine.
Exactly. It highlights how the demand for in-home care has skyrocketed,
Yeah.
which of course pushes prices even higher. And then there are those stories you hear about people languishing on wait lists for months, even years, just to get into decent care facilities.
It's heartbreaking and honestly a little terrifying.
It is. And those wait lists, they're only going to get longer. As the boomer generation ages, we're talking about a potential shortage, not just of money, but of caregivers and facilities too.
So even if you have the financial resources, there's no guarantee you'll be able to actually find the care you need when and where you need it.
Precisely. And that's something I think a lot of people haven't fully grasped yet.
It's a lot to process. So where do we go from here? What can families do to prepare for this, especially when it feels like we're heading toward this impossible situation with limited options?
Well, the first step is simply acknowledging the issue and having open, honest conversations within families.
You mean like those conversations about getting older and needing care? That's going to be tough for everyone involved.
Of course, it's not easy, but it's crucial. And the sooner you start, the better. Talk about everything. Health concerns, financial realities, and perhaps most importantly, their wishes as they age. Do they want to stay in their home as long as possible? How do they feel about assisted living or, down the line, nursing homes? These are tough questions, but they need to be addressed.
That makes a lot of sense. But those conversations can be, well, emotionally charged. What advice would you give to someone struggling to even broach the subject?
I'd say approach it with empathy and understanding. This is about planning for the future together, not forcing anyone into a decision. It's about understanding their wishes and values, so you can best support them as they age. And it's not just about their wishes either. It's also vital to consider your own financial preparedness.
Right, like figuring out how much care actually costs and how you might handle those expenses, whether it's for yourself or a loved one.
Yes. And remember, it's not just the financial burden to consider, but the emotional and logistical challenges of caregiving too. It can be incredibly demanding and, frankly, isolating. Think about the impact on your own life, your career, your family, your own well-being.
It's like that saying, it takes a village. But in this case, the village seems to be shrinking, and everyone is trying to figure it out on their own.
Which is why it's more important than ever for families to connect with resources and support systems. There are organizations out there that can provide information, guidance, even just a listening ear. Don't be afraid to reach out.
Okay, so being proactive, starting those conversations, and building a support network, all crucial steps. But let's get back to those potential solutions we briefly discussed. What else did Smith suggest?
He had a few interesting points. Remember how we talked about health span earlier? Well, he goes deeper into that, emphasizing the importance of not just extending lifespan, but extending the number of healthy, active years we have.
So not just living longer,
yeah,
but living better for longer.
Exactly. He argues that if we can compress the period of serious illness and decline at the end of life, it could dramatically reduce the need for expensive long-term care.
That makes sense. But how do we actually do that? Is he talking about some magic pill?
Not exactly. Although advancements in medical technology definitely play a role. But he also emphasizes those lifestyle factors we often hear about, but struggle to prioritize. Diet, exercise, sleep, stress management, all those things we know are good for us.
It's true. We often know what we should be doing, but actually doing it consistently, that's a different story.
Right. But what I found fascinating is how Smith frames this not just as personal responsibility, but as a potential societal solution. He argues that if we can create a culture that prioritizes health and well-being, it could have a ripple effect, reducing healthcare costs and improving quality of life for everyone.
Okay, so it's about moving beyond individual action and looking at how we can build systems and support structures that make healthy aging the default, not the exception.
Exactly. But even if we all started living incredibly healthy lives, there are still going to be people who need care, right? And that brings us back to those systemic issues, like the shortage of caregivers and the high cost of care.
Right, back to those daunting realities. So are we back to feeling doomed again?
Not quite. But we need to acknowledge there are no easy answers or quick fixes here. Addressing these issues will require a multifaceted approach. And that's something we could delve into more after a quick break.
Okay, so before the break, we were starting to unpack some of those bigger systemic challenges around aging and caregiving. And I think it's easy to feel a little overwhelmed by it all. You know, where do we even begin?
That's true. These are big, complex issues with no easy solutions. But Smith does offer a couple of concrete takeaways, even in the face of these challenges.
Okay, so let's talk about those takeaways. You mentioned earlier they centered around challenging assumptions and planning ahead. Let's start with challenging assumptions. What kind of assumptions are we talking about here?
Well, one big one is this idea that we'll all just magically have enough saved up to cover whatever care we might need later in life. Smith argues that for many people, especially with rising costs, that's simply not realistic.
Okay, so challenging that financial assumption is key. What about planning ahead? We've talked about having those difficult conversations with family, but what else can people do, practically speaking, to prepare for the future?
It's about being proactive on multiple fronts.
Yes.
Having those conversations about finances and end-of-life wishes is crucial, but it's also about making choices now that prioritize your health and well-being.
So circling back to that idea of health span, actively taking steps to extend those healthy, active years.
Exactly. Because ultimately, the best way to potentially reduce your need for expensive care later is to stay healthier for longer. And that's something you have a degree of control over, starting today.
It's empowering in a way, right? Like, even with these huge systemic challenges, we can still take charge of our own aging process to some extent.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And don't underestimate the power of small changes over time. Incorporating more movement into your day, eating a bit healthier, finding ways to manage stress, these things add up.
So not about becoming marathon runners overnight, but about making sustainable changes that support a healthier lifestyle long term.
Exactly. And it's never too late to start, even if you're already in your 60s or 70s. Making those positive changes can still make a difference.
I love that message of hope. It's so easy to get bogged down in the doom and gloom of it all. But you're right, focusing on what we can control is incredibly powerful.
It is, and remember, knowledge is power. The more informed you are about these issues, the better equipped you'll be to make choices that support a happy, healthy, and financially secure future for yourself and for your loved ones.
Couldn't agree more. So as we wrap up this deep dive, I think the big question for our listeners is, what's your plan for navigating the road ahead? What steps can you take today? Whether it's having that tough conversation with a loved one, researching local resources, or simply committing to one small, healthy habit.
It's about taking that first step, however small it might seem. And remembering, you don't have to do this alone. Mm-hmm. There are resources available, people who understand, and a whole community out there grappling with these same questions.
That's it for this deep dive. Until next time, keep learning, keep asking those tough questions, and keep living your best life.